You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
This episode of The Instance is brought to you by you, you people. Who am I calling you people? Well, you. Because you guys are the ones that support us over at The Instance Premium Subscription. Yeah, that's right. Fans who like us enough to say, here's a buck a month, or whatever. Lots of great levels, physical and digital rewards, bonus shows every month, where you get some content that you're not going to get any other way, that sort of thing. It's all there for the taking. That's theinstance.net today.
The World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to. This is The Instance.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to... Oh, it didn't work. Hold on. You know when Scott's done some switcheroo-ing around because everything's a little jacked. Hi, everybody. Welcome to The Instance and Merry Christmas month to everybody. That's a good start. Yeah. And you know what, though? Well, we're live to hard drive. I don't go back and fix things. Who am I? Who am I? Some kind of guy that fixes things? No.
I find that type of stuff so much more entertaining than trying to cover it up.
Yeah. I'm not going to go fix it. No way. Not a chance in hell. But there is a chance in hell that there's an instance right now. In fact, this is the show I'm talking about. We're on right now. 563 is the episode number. It is not quite January. It is December the 13th, 2019. And I'm joined today by Patrick and Garrett. Patrick, hi. Hey, Patrick, how are you, Patrick? I see your face today.
I'm doing okay. The wife was away in Paris for the week, so I was alone with the little one. And it was a delightful, if slightly exhausting experience.
Yeah. I mean, he's pushing two now, right?
Two. He's almost two. It's incredible. And he is so cute. He is... so cute. Yep. I should send you a video of him dancing. You will melt. All right. I started Billie Eilish was on the Apple Best of Year thing.
Yeah.
And so I started listening to it, and I started listening to it with the little one. And oh my God, can he dance? Like, he's got some moves. He's seriously talented at dancing.
Wait a minute. What's the Billie Eilish song that we're getting the dance to? What are we rocking out to?
Oh, well, Bad Guy, of course.
Oh, okay. All right.
Why isn't this on the Grams? Why aren't you doing it for the Grams, Patrick?
Because I have this thing. I'm not showing him. I'm not showing his face online. Like, you know, it's a little bit of, I don't know, protection for later.
I mean, by the time it matters that people have a bank of faces that they're using for nefarious purposes, his face will look totally different.
Here's what I say.
I know.
But here's what I say. I think that is a parent's prerogative, and you absolutely, if that's the way you go, you should go that way. I'm trying to think.
Go
ahead.
I'm not even sure it's that necessary. It's just, you know, I had to make a decision, and that's the way we went. But it's not like sacred or anything, but
sure.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, I want to see, you send this to us privately so that we can see it, and then we'll be friends again. Yeah.
Like he shakes a little bit. Oh, is he coming now?
Oh,
no, maybe not.
Oh, no.
He shakes a little bit side to side, and it's the cutest thing ever. Seriously. It's incredible.
Maybe one day if you show him dancing, and if some future job interview, they'll say, I'm sorry, we can't hire you. You dance to Billie Eilish. We don't like Billie Eilish.
Work on an Instagram filter that just like blurs out the baby's face or replaces his face with Baby Yoda.
There you go.
I actually looked for an Instagram filter that would track the face and like put a smiley face on it, because I swear the way he dances is way too cute. I know everyone says that about their kid.
Yeah.
In this case, it is true.
Yeah.
Dude, you and the Fergusons are just ruining all of the hard work I have done over my entire life to convince myself that I don't want children. So thank you for that.
I'm worried about that Ferguson kid, is that he's going to eat his parents. He's such a giant kid. He's a humongous child. And it's because he's got these tall guy jeans. But man, how she carried that baby for 9 months, I don't know. I don't know how it happened, but couldn't be happier for those guys.
Yeah, well, I was editing Into the Nexus last night, and afterwards, like, Kristen came into the office, and we caught up, and I got to see Flynn in the freaking his papoose. It's just adorable.
It's like she's carrying a small man with her, is what it looks like.
If I had ovaries, they would hurt.
Yeah, mine, my uterus hurts, but I'm not supposed to have one of those, but it does. There it is.
Just y'all need to stop having super cute children.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Whatever. Listen, I see a future where you guys
have kids. At some point, Garrett, I'll tell you about the first year of that child and how it affected us.
I follow you on Twitter. I'm very aware.
Yes. But it's not the same when you're actually like talking, just eyes straight in the eyes and explaining what actually happens. It is not as fun as people tell
it's
you.
It's a challenge.
I imagine you looked a lot like you did at this year's BlizzCon, but just on a baby basis. Like, y'all, Patrick looked gray. Like,
kind of ashen.
Person.
It's because he doesn't sleep. He has no sleep. He has insomnia anyway. Plus, you had jet lag. Yeah. Plus, you had a toddler. Like, I don't. We're lucky he's gray and not. Just like the dude in who shows poorly in that third Indiana Jones movie. You could look like that guy. Anyway.
That scared me so bad when I was a kid.
It should. It was scary. It scared
me. I had to go see with my parents the first time I watched The Last Crusade.
Yeah, The Last Crusade had some moments, man. That's not untrue. Only other thing I wanted to say about this before we get going is that Billie Eilish, I think, it might be high all the time. All right, moving on to an actual show now. We're going to talk about stuff. So here's the thing. As everybody knows, December is kind of like suck month for anything new happening in and around Blizzard. It really isn't. Like, and I don't blame them. They take their time off. This happens every year. We complain every year, but whatever. There aren't any releases, obviously. There isn't any big news.
What do we even suck month bumper for future Decembers now?
Yeah, December is a suck month. So when is 8.3 due? Do we even have a date? We don't have a date, do we?
No.
Okay. So
gotta be soon. I mean, PTR is filling out.
Exactly. And we don't even have like a holiday WoW patch to fiddle around in. I believe
it's still like quote unquote early 2020 is when 8.3 is. I think that's the last thing they said about when to expect it.
That bums me out, but it's fine, I guess. But whatever. I think they should also enjoy their holiday and not do too many things that would make people have to stick around and watch servers melt and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, this happens every year for basically every Blizzard game. Like, it gets pretty quiet around the holidays, and I think it's healthy and good, and they should take the time off. And at the same time, they're like sneaking in they snuck in a Hearthstone patch last night, and then there's a bigger Hearthstone patch coming next week. So like, I'm kind of mind blown on that front.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, World of Warcraft, I think it's going to be pretty quiet.
Yeah, I think that's the way those jimmies are going to fall. I don't even know what that phrase comes from. It doesn't
what the
really,
hell does that mean? That's the way those jimmies are going to rustle.
Yeah, there you go. Those jimmies, yeah, see, that works because you rustle your jimmies. But here's my overall on this, though. It's just a hard time for podcasters. They have to be creative and come up with their own stuff, see? So that's what we're going to do a bit today of is make some predictions.
Let's be super creative and talk about what's going to happen next year.
What do we want out of Blizzard in 2020? All right, so legitimately, that is what we're going to do. We also have a number of calls and email type stuff toward the end of the show, so we'll see how things go lengthwise. But a couple of things have not happened yet, and one of them is sort of glaring, in my opinion, which is Blizzard hasn't announced a release date for Warcraft 3. Reforged, and everybody thought that would have happened by now. I would have thought we were playing it by now outside of beta, because I guess the beta is still going. But as far as I can tell, actually, I haven't checked in a while. That beta is still just multiplayer beta, right? There's no...
I don't know. I'm not in it.
That was the same thing for all of the StarCraft 2 betas. It was only ever a multiplayer beta. Okay. There was never any single player testing.
All right. So the stuff I want out of that game is not there. I want the campaign. So if I'm going to get that thing again, I want that thing. And I thought we'd have it by now, but we don't have it. So no date for that.
I think they're very aware of that.
Yeah. Here's my prediction. Sometime before April, Warcraft 3 Reforged is in our hands.
It has to release before the end of 2019 because that is guaranteed on the pre-purchase website still.
Oh.
Oh, really?
Yes. The very first bullet point, if you go, and I'm going to drop a link here in Discord for you, Scott. Pre-purchase Warcraft 3 Reforged releases on or before December 31st, 2019.
There it is.
Oh, my God. Wow.
So if they go past that, they are in trouble.
Yeah, they won't go past it. That means it could be day of, though. You know,
that like means 31st? The instance will be talking Warcraft 3 very soon.
Yeah. So December 31st really could be that last day. But I can't imagine them doing that for just server reasons. They always want to make sure they're padded out on like making sure everything stays up and authentication doesn't have go down or whatever. I can't imagine on New Year's Eve they launch that.
It's a re-release of an RTS. I can't imagine it's that going to be that big of a stress on the servers.
I mean, they didn't think that a WoW Classic either, and look what happened there. Like, that thing was, that was a rough
Well, that's
few
just because they were wrong. They were just straight up wrong.
They were wrong.
Like, yeah, they were listening to Patrick Beja, which they shouldn't know.
Which and everyone knows you should never do.
No. Hell no.
No, just about WoW Classic. Patrick is basically okay. Right about literally everything else in his life.
Except WoW Classic.
Had a dark spot in
I don't know about the first part of the statement, but certainly the second part, I'll agree. I might have been wrong.
Yeah. Possibly. Here's a piece of advice from Patrick from Days Gone. Check this out. Oh, won't play. That's too bad. Hold on a second.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah.
Can you just whisper what you wanted me to say and I'll say it.
Well, now it'll play. Hold on. Will it though?
Okay.
Hold on. Let's see. Okay, here we go. Will it play? Yes, here we go. Oh, no. Why won't this play? Okay, well, you know what it is? I'm downloading a bunch of stuff that's still in the cloud, and that's why
I
was
going to use a couple different clips to make Patrick say, Garrett is a ledick.
Ledick. It was actually one where you talk about, let's see. Oh, now it's working. Okay, here you go, Patrick. This is you.
Okay, so, I'm excited. Go ahead.
Maybe. I want to work. Okay, here we go.
That emotional roller coaster, Scott, what are you doing?
All right, now we're getting off. We're getting off the roller coaster. Here you go.
Swim in money.
Wait, that's not. Okay.
We're going to swim in money.
Okay, so I don't know what that was. But
when did I say that?
I don't know.
When did I say that?
That was when I was wearing a wire in the room when you agreed to take all that chill money from Blizzard to say kind
right.
things.
Right, I forgot about that one. True.
I don't know.
Yeah, I was wearing a wire. I'm very sorry, Patrick, but
that's when I decided to say that I was wrong about WoW Classic and that it was the best thing ever. That's when
it happened. Yeah.
We're going to be swimming in money.
Yeah. So I'm going to adjust my prediction. I'm going to say sometime in the next 2 weeks we get that game.
2 weeks.
I mean,
yeah.
What happens if they don't do it?
I mean, then I was wrong. But if they don't, I see
legally,
what you mean.
What happens if they don't deliver on that promise? I guess I don't know. There are ways to mitigate it. Maybe they have to give credit, some Blizzard credit to people who bought it, or like, because the question might become, we don't know that it is, but the question might become, do they have to release it even though it's not ready because they made that promise to get some of those sweet, sweet pre-order monies?
Yeah.
It's not like they all go to prison.
Right.
There are ways to mitigate it, I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, people, there may be some demands for refunds because some people just freak out. But I think that there's nothing that says they can't say, you know what, we're going to need a little more time. We apologize, whatever. This happens a lot with other games. Now, they're not always pre-orders, but I know that I could pre-order, what was it that got delayed? That was I pre-ordered Red Dead Redemption 2 for the PlayStation 4 when it first went on sale, and that was when they had a much earlier release date planned. And I just, and it just held until, and don't ask me why I did that, because I'm normally not a pre-order guy. I think I did it for extra stuff they were given. I can't remember what my deal was. But so I think there's some precedence for that. I think Blizzard definitely doesn't want to do that, though. They don't want to.
Of course, yeah. I guess they would need to make sure that people can cancel or get a refund, something like that.
Yeah. Dice Tomato says Australia has some very specific customer fulfillment laws. We may have some too here. I don't know how Europe is, but
I'm sure that's the case. My point is, they're not gonna, you know, make the company go under and close. Like, there would be consequences, but if they really want, if they're not ready, the question becomes, will they get the game out even though it's not ready? Because obviously it seems to be cutting it pretty close.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Are we all getting, I assume we're all playing this, right? Aren't we all? Are you playing it, Patrick?
Oh, dude. Yeah, absolutely. Are you kidding me? This is where it all started for me. This is my first hit of crack.
Yeah. I think a lot of people feel that way, but Patrick, I hear a little hesitance in your voice.
Yeah, it's not, you know, it was definitely a game I enjoyed, but I'm not like pining to play it again. And it's not like there are just too many things to play, and I don't love it enough that I absolutely want to replay it. And I'm not a big RTS guy anyway. Just to be clear, I did play it when it first came out and I loved it then, but it is, just look at the landscape. There are better things to play, well, or things I want to play more than.
That's a decent point. Also, I kind of feel similarly about the RTS end of it. I'm more interested in seeing it than playing it. So I'm going to get it and I'm going to play it. But if I had my way, the game would have a mode that let me just get all the cutscenes and remind myself story beats. Because that's
well,
what
that mode is called YouTube.
I guess I could do that, right? I could totally watch that. I just want to see it in its new glory. I want to see these new graphics. But the actual playing of an RTS right now doesn't sound very fun to me. I just
when was the last time you played an RTS, Scott?
All right, it was. Well, I did kind of play a cool RTS recently.
2004.
I played that Homeworld, Sands of Calorac, or whatever the name of it is, the ground-based Homeworld game. That was kind of cool, very cool actually. But then before that, probably StarCraft II was the last one I played.
Because it's been a long time since you played Warcraft 3, it is actually pretty rad to go back after having played StarCraft 2 and all of the things we kind of learned about being significantly better at an RTS game.
Yeah.
Because the last time I went to play Warcraft 3, it's been years, but I played through at least the first campaign. I didn't go up through Frozen Throne. I got distracted. But I did a pretty lengthy replay, like post. I want to say it was Heart of the Swarm at the time, and like, dude, it was so much better. It was so much more fun just because I would like didn't suck.
Yeah, I made this weird transition in my game life where I used to love RTSs. They were my jam. Oh, you know what? The most recent thing I played is I downloaded and played the
Reach.
No, the remaster of Age of Empires 2 that just came out.
Oh,
is
that a
I like it.
Really an RTS?
Oh, like, yeah. It's 100% an RTS. Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that game was... That's the other... As far as I'm concerned, back in my StarCraft 1 and Brood War days, there were two RTSs. There was StarCraft and there was Age of Empires 2, and everything else was dumb. So that's... I wasn't really a Command & Conquer guy, so sorry everyone out there that's yelling Command & Conquer. But anyway, my love for RTSs was really strong in the 90s and early aughts. What happened, I want to say, in the last maybe 10 years... About as long as we've had StarCraft 2, which is also weird to say out loud. I have drifted more towards turn-based strategy games, and now that's kind of all I want. So, and there are parts of me that just wish Blizzard would just straight up make an RTS or a turn-based like StarCraft game, even on mobile or something. I want that kind of tactical experience. And I don't know if that's just a thing you just do as you get older and you're just tired of managing all your armies in real time and I want to go back to, like, you know, chess time. I don't know. But that's kind of where my head's at on that. But anyway, we'll see. I think it's going to be a huge hit for them. Go ahead.
Blizzard needs to go contact Subset Games and just have them make Into the Breach, but the StarCraft version.
Yes!
And then you put that on phones, and then I just cry tears of pure joy for months on end.
No, 100% that. Like, it... Oh my gosh. Like, I would take XCOM style. I would take, oh my gosh, I've been playing Shadow Tactics again, this great feudal Japan sort of thing. It's more real time, but you kind of have to be methodic about it and choose your battles and sneak up on stuff. There's a little bit of stealth involved, but I'm just so into that kind of gameplay right now. If Blizzard announced something like that, I would lose my mind. I'd be so excited. Oh my gosh. All right, anyway, Warcraft 3. What else I expect this year? Let's talk about Diablo 4 just for a second. I know we're not going to get the game, but I want frequent and constant updates on how things are going. I want them to come out and get ahead of that. I want them to do Q&As and Reddit Ask Me Anythings and Twitch stuff. And I want them to talk about features.
They're kind of already doing it.
They seem to be.
I think they had a number of updates.
They seem to be, and that's good. That's a really good start. I just don't want them to lose steam and not do that constantly. Because I kind of want it all the time, Patrick, like all the time.
I'm a little bit worried about the fact that they've been so good about it mm-hmm. that it feels like they have like a plan for the year. And what happens if they not run out of steam on the plan, but run out of like the game gets delayed and they can't follow up on the plan? I guess they have to go silent for a little bit. It's not the end of the world.
Well, when you worked at Blizzard and you were in PR and stuff, you probably were involved in a lot of plans like this or similar to them. I have to imagine Blizzard likes to be as close to on the mark as they can with their timing of things, and they don't like delays when they would rather not even give you a date. I mean,
the thing is, we didn't really make too many plans until things were super close to being certain about release dates and stuff, because we knew that things could change. So this is why it's a little bit surprising with Diablo 4, because they explicitly said, you know, it's not soon, it's not even Blizzard soon, which means, you know, it's not coming anytime. They kind of aren't even sure. It's so far off that the way I understand it, it's so far off that they can't know when it's coming out, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so making comms plans on that is a little bit challenging. It's not that it can be done. It can't be done. Obviously, they can just show what they have at the moment, and then if things change, it's not the end of the world. But it's just a little bit different from the way things had been done in the past, and I don't think it means they have solid plans until release.
I sort of wish they hadn't said what they said about it's not even Blizzard soon. The reason I wish they wouldn't have said that is because that has changed. So I need to know what they mean by that. It used to mean...
What do you mean they change? It has changed.
Well, Blizzard soon used to mean forever. It used to mean announce Diablo 3 in 2007 and don't release it till 2012. That used to be the standard. The standard changed, though, partially because of that. People were mad about that. So they started to do things like, all right, we're close enough with Overwatch that we can announce it and we know we're 18 months out. That's the new Blizzard soon. So... when they say not even Blizzard soon, do they mean the old Blizzard soon? Do they mean something beyond that? Like, I don't know what they mean. It's too vague. I want less vagaries.
Yeah, I think they mean that it's not the Overwatch thing, right? Okay, it's not coming out in beta. It's not going to be available in beta next year. I think that's what they mean.
Okay.
Yeah, because, I mean, even freaking StarCraft. StarCraft 2 was announced in 2007. It didn't release until 2011. That's like 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a long time. Well, 2010 for StarCraft 2.
Or 2010, was it 2010?
Yeah,
okay, 2010. So it wasn't as long. Yeah, not so bad. Really long.
It was a long time.
3 years is significant.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember it came out the same month as Civ 5.
That's right, because I started podcasting in 2010, about to hit my 10-year anniversary because of freaking StarCraft.
Oh, that's crazy. But yeah, and those two games, when they came out together, I was super torn because I'm a big Civ fan. And again, I was starting to lean into my turn-based love again. And that I was super torn that time. I was bewitched to play. And so what I did was just put tons of hours into both of them. Why can't we have both? That's my attitude. Anyway, Diablo 4. Garrett, any other thoughts about your... I mean, I still say 2021, beta sometime in 2020, if I'm guessing. What do you think?
2021 with a possible delay into early 2022.
Ugh. Don't like that.
I mean... trying to think, have they ever like announced a release? They usually don't announce a release date until like really damn late, and they don't. I can't think of them pushing it.
No,
this isn't like a Naughty Dog game, because they like always they're like, we're gonna get out for the holidays, and we just go, no, you're not, and they don't.
Yeah, like I'm still not even sure I believe that Last of Us 2 is even happening. I mean, it is obviously.
I hope it doesn't, because I don't want to have a subpar experience the first time playing it, because I don't want to be spoiled by playing it on a PS4 and then play it again. Good, like a good version of it on a PS5. I honestly hope it just indefinitely gets delayed until
it comes
the PS5
out.
Yeah.
I mean,
I
kind of wish they would delay that until the PS5, and then that's just the one you get.
Yes,
same,
I don't, because I don't, I the first Last of Us is incredible, and my first experience was dog shit because it had like 10 frames per second on the PS3.
Yeah,
that's a bit harsh. It was good on the PS3. I
loved it. I loved every second of it. And then the PS4 came out like 6 months later with a remaster that was gorgeous and beautiful and ran wonderfully. And I'm like, boy, this would have been great if this was the first time any of us experienced this game.
Yeah,
I think they're gonna put it out before the PS5 comes out because they want to sell it to you again on PS5.
Yeah. Yes, that's exactly right. Patrick. Wow.
Just like last time.
They cracked it.
Yeah, just Patrick's like last time.
On the case.
But then they're also doing it with that other thing, the Shadows of Sushi or
Ghost
whatever.
Of Tsushima, Ghost of Tsushima, which, same. I tweeted last night. I'm like, does anyone wish they would just wait until the PS5 for both of these games so we don't have to play it?
Well, I mean, you'll be able to play both of them on PS5. It's just probably going to be just a little bit of improvements, but then
I would think you of all people would understand my concern of I'm gonna have it all spoiled to hell and back by the time it comes out on the PS5.
Oh no, of course. I mean, you will have to play it on PS4.
Yeah,
I like him looking chat where it says Shadows of Sushi.
Yeah, that's what I said because I couldn't think of the name. I do this all the time. This is what happens if I can't think of a name. I'm gonna say a dumb thing. That's Scott's law. It's in the books.
When it's not about remembering.
Sometimes I'll say something dumb just because, I'll say something dumb.
It happens to the best of us.
Sure.
And that is you.
Shadows of Sushi coming soon. Yes.
Getting back to Diablo 4 and Overwatch 2, actually, I think what I'm hoping for is kind of a beta range by BlizzCon next year. And I think that is the best case scenario. Like at BlizzCon next year, they'll say, and we'll have a beta next year, which is 2021. Wow, that's really far off. But like early next year or something like that. I think we're not going to see for Diablo 4, definitely because of the, not even Blizzard soon statement. For Overwatch 2, maybe we'll hear about a beta earlier in the year, but I don't think we're going to see a beta for either title in 2020, which means things are still extremely far off if that's how it's happening.
Yeah, I think that's a fair statement to make.
I mean, like, to be even more clear, that would mean we don't get anything other than the WoW expansion next year.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. If next year we still don't get anything, I don't know. I might have to revise this statement because I can't believe we wouldn't get anything next year either.
I think we're
not getting Overwatch 2?
I think we're getting Overwatch 2 next year. I do.
It's not that big of a game. Like it's
No, you're right. It just seemed a little bit early, and they said, we have a lot of ideas, but it's very early in development. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm kind of, maybe we'll get the beta next year, but I don't know. It seemed they were indicating it was not ready.
If we don't, I'm with Patrick on this. If we don't get another, at least one of the announced games next year, or at least some groundbreaking freak out about some new IP that gets announced, that's bad. Not just for us. It's bad for Blizzard and it's bad for their shareholders because they need to release a damn game. They really do.
I mean, it's Blizzard being what Blizzard does best, which is not release a game when it's not ready, which is becoming increasingly frustrating for us because we want their games, but we don't want them to do it the other way around, right?
Right.
We don't want them to release a game for.
Yeah.
There's a sense of like the 2019 of post 2019, right? Like there's clearly unrest by the shareholders in terms of the speed at which games are churning out, and that's why so many non-development employees were let go, and they've been in hiring more developers.
Right.
So what game, if we were thinking, they can't go another year without releasing a game, what game would they release? It's not going to be Diablo Immortal. I think
no one would be excited about
it. Yeah, absolutely. Immortal. It can't be Immortal. It can't be Warcraft 3 Reforged. It can't be one of these remakes.
Well, it can be Immortal. It's just that it's not going to be the kind of win in the public eye that they need. Right. That game eventually needs to come out.
Yeah. I mean, for me, the slam dunk would be Overwatch 2 coming out next year as a given. That needs to happen. And I think Garrett's on to something about, I mean, it's hard
it's
to say.
It's not a huge game.
It's not a huge game. It's just that it's an iteration in a way that they don't have to do with other games. It's not like a completely new Diablo game where you got 10 years between everything. This is like quick succession we're still moving on. The competition's still hot. Let's go, let's go. Like, it's a different kind of iteration. It's more like Destiny 2's iterations.
Is it quick? It's like 4 years, you know? Well, it's not even that quick. Overwatch came out in 2016.
Yeah.
Again, by Blizzard standards, it's quick. Right, I mean, I'm not trying to dig on Overwatch. Everyone knows I'm like, it's not really my jam. But, like, I think because it doesn't seem like a huge step in a new direction for Overwatch, like, it does a little bit feel expansion-y.
Mm-hmm.
4 years does seem long because of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
And I'm not on the, like, I don't know. They can charge whatever they want to charge. I think everything they're adding is really good for the game. I'm not trying to troll and say, oh, it's just the Overwatch expansion. But it does have an heir to that. And so I think because of that, 4 years does seem a little long. But in the grand scheme of Blizzard, 4 years doesn't seem long.
It feels like a Destiny 1 to Destiny 2 kind of thing to me. And by that,
Destiny 1 to Destiny 2 was maybe, 3 years.
Yeah, but maybe even less. Maybe it's less than that. I just mean it's not that different. In other words, what I mean is you're going to be going on strikes and killing stuff and getting loot. Like, the structure is largely staying there with new modes. The graphical overhaul right.
The game is much less ambitious than a Destiny game. It is like, I'm with Garrett. It feels like an expansion-y type thing, even if they're calling it Overwatch 2. It feels like a game that they could put together in 4 years, I guess. Like, even that seems like a little bit too much, but mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing I like about that game is how deceptively advanced the graphics engine is getting without you noticing too much. Which is a weird thing to say, right? Because normally when you want you want big graphical improvements and you want to notice them. But for the life of me, during most of the presentation, it was hard for me to see any of that until they really got a close up look. And you're like, oh yeah, look at this. This is like way better if you compare the one to the two. And to their credit, that's great because they're creating kind of a consistency sort of visual through line on all of this. But on the other hand, it's because it's not noticeable. It's getting kind of, you know, it's like good CGI in a movie that doesn't, you don't notice that the background is CGI or that the smoke from the car wasn't really there, but you don't call it out because it just seems so natural. And that's kind of what they're doing here. So it's not jumping out. But I kind of like that. I like that aspect to it. And I hope in the final result, we'll all be happy with it. But I think 2020, man, you got to have something. That's the closest they've got to a release game, right? Okay. It's got to be.
I agree. You're convincing me, winning me over with this. It has to be that. It has to be Overwatch 2. Or maybe they announce something different, but who knows?
That's a rare thing, by the way, that we convince Patrick of something after he's already made his mind up. I just want to put that out there. Just not the kind of guy who can change his mind.
Patrick is reasonable.
Oh, no, he's totally reasonable. Yeah. He's totally
Patrick
reasonable
is a reasonable
guy.
Man.
Absolutely.
He's a WoW classic.
It's just that, as has been established by Garrett before, except for our classic, I'm usually so reasonable that I'm already right before we have the argument.
Right.
I've studied all of the possibilities. I'm like, some kind of, yeah. So anyway.
And spoilers for things that are in the live game of World of Warcraft. That's the other thing I would say.
Oh,
a little unreasonable about.
Oh, about spoilers. Oh,
okay, right.
I wouldn't say you're unreasonable. I think he's more like most people. I think you and I think Garrett and I are more loose on that stuff. But I think Patrick is. But maybe it's because Patrick, you've gotten. I mean,
I'm a little bit extreme on the spoiler thing. I really enjoy not knowing anything when I get into an experience.
Yeah.
However. Garrett, how about we talk about today's episode of The Mandalorian?
Oh. It has literally been less than 24 hours. When we talk about spoilers on World of Warcraft, they've been on the PTR for 3 months.
Oh my god, I love it. I was so hoping you would go on that rant.
That's amazing.
Yes.
All right.
It goes up at 3 a.m. my time.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know. I don't have access to that.
This is what Patrick could say about spoilers.
Fine. I think you're being coy, but please, for the love of God, I'm begging you, pirate the shit out of it, because
yeah,
I can't. I respect the law.
Oh wow, cool. Look at you!
I'm glad you're being coy about it, but well, I mean, please, everyone outside of America, please break the law because it's dumb that they're not.
I'll tell you this. I feel like if I was a pirating type, I would be justified in pirating something that I want to pay for but cannot get.
And just keep and buying maybe bargain bin copies of Frozen to give
to compensate.
A little bit of
money. I will say as well that I do think that if I did experience the joy of Baby Yoda on a weekly basis, I would agree that it is incredibly cute and adorable.
Yeah, it's adorable, right? I mean, let's just listen to this music here. Oh, just puts me in the mood, man. It just puts me in the mood. All right.
In the mood for what? Wait, I'm worried.
For The Mandalorian, I promise. That's
Patrick
it.
Patrick has no idea.
Okay, all right, all right.
Patrick doesn't know because he's not illegally watching The Mandalorian.
Yeah, you don't even know what that, you don't even know what that music is, probably, do you?
Probably, yes, you're right. I also only know Baby Yoda by the internet meme status it has achieved. That's sure. the only
not
thing
from
I've
some friend's Plex it. Server or something. He only knows it from the internet memes. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right.
I read it. That's how.
All right.
And
I have no other predictions for the year. Does anyone? Let's do a Hearthstone prediction because I don't know what the hell they do over there with that Hearthstone thing. So Garrett, since you're the expert, why don't you tell us what they'll do or you hope they do in 2020?
I think they already surprised us, and they'll just continue their really good pace of updates that they ripped the seal off of in 2019.
Nice.
I've said this multiple times on multiple shows, but I'm not sure I mentioned it here. I think 2019 is the best year Hearthstone has ever had by like a landslide victory.
Oh wow, that's a strong statement. More than just Battlegrounds, though. You think kind of overall?
No, Battlegrounds was just like this cherry on top. If the cherry was bigger than the sundae, and it just squeezed everything else out, and you're now just looking at a giant delicious cherry. Hmm. That's the only damn thing you give a crap about anymore, and you forgot about the sundae.
Yeah,
that's Battlegrounds. But there was a wonderful sundae.
Yeah, it's a good.
That was the year 2019 because we got mid expansion updates to the game. In the middle of the year between expansion 1 and expansion 2. They had their buff event where they went back to the Boomsday Project and buffed 2 cards from every single class. We'd never seen them do anything like that before, and it was incredible, and it breathed this huge breath of fresh air into the game. And then they did it again just now. It just ended in between Expansion 2 and Expansion 3. They had the Wild event where they brought back cards from Wild, which they overreached a little bit with Evolve, and all anyone really wanted to do was focus on the negativity of how Evolve really kind of killed the meta. But like at the same time, there's a lot of really cool stuff that event did, and they just overreached. All they really needed to do was like take Evolve out, and they just refused to do that. And I think that was a little tone deaf of them, but overall, like, I really think it's awesome that they did these mid-expansion events. It did a lot to keep the game interesting throughout the entire year. Hmm. Because up until this point, every year of Hearthstone from launch until 2019, there has just been these huge swaths of like 3-month stretches where the meta was just solved and nothing changed if you were playing on the ladder. And they found a way to stop that for the most part. Evolve got a little old, but
sure,
neither here nor there. And then on top of it, they just freaking dropped Battlegrounds on us. And it's insane.
Yeah, like, it's very good.
It's a huge surprise.
It's the only thing I want to play in there. Like, it brought me back into Hearthstone, which is weird. I haven't spent any money, you know? So yeah, I don't know if that's... I mean, I know there's me spending money on cards is a benefit in there, but I haven't felt the need to yet. Also, I'm not winning, so maybe I do feel the need to. But
if you buy 20 packs from the most recent set, you unlock a third option of a hero when you start a game of Battlegrounds, which you should absolutely do because some heroes are better than others.
Right. See, I have a conspiracy.
I also think that for someone who's playing very casually might not care as much.
Yeah.
No.
That, but
and I think
even
that's
though it's
fine.
An objective, yeah.
Sure.
I would say if you are really enjoying it, though, support the game. Buy 20 packs, you know, throw a few bucks at it.
Sure. Yeah, I like to do that here and there. This is a good time to do that. Yeah, if you get 20, so 20 packs will get me a third slot permanently. I'll always have a third slot.
Until yeah, that's the
next
thing.
Expansion.
Exactly. You have to do it like three times a year. Yeah, which is a little bit.
If they better balance the heroes, I would be more likely or willing to spend that money because the fact that they're so unbalanced right now, or at least they seem to be, makes me feel weird about I'm paying to get out of their unbalanced problem when there's only 2 choices. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, that is a pessimistic way to look at it.
Very much, yeah. I agree.
I think there are offenders that are worse than others. I don't think I want all the heroes at parity. I just don't think I think there's a spread you want.
Yeah.
And right now I think there's a couple, there's two heroes that are really like too significantly stronger than the others. And maybe a couple still that are too significantly bad compared to the others. But I like having this kind of gradation because when you do have to play a less than optimal hero, it can drastically change the way that you want to play the game, and you still have a chance to win because the draft still plays a huge role.
Right.
Like you can play the worst hero in the game right now, and your draft could just be better. And if you understand how to take advantage of that draft, you're going to roll and win.
Okay.
You could also get horribly unlucky, get a terrible draft, and have no hope of winning. But sometimes that happens.
But still that's fun anyway. And sometimes you get higher in the rank than you thought you were going to and last longer than you thought. I mean, that's the fun of the game. I really like it. I think it's very good. And hopefully they continue down the road that they're on. What other game have we not talked about? That's all of them, really. Oh, well, Heroes of the Storm, you know, is what it is. I don't know. I'm trying not to be poopy about it. I just feel like they don't give it enough love. I know there's a brand new character, but he's kind of a gimmick.
He's not.
He kind of is. Okay, though.
Scott, I'm sorry.
He's gimmicky.
I'm sorry. You're factually incorrect.
He's gimmicky. He's like, no, he's, you know what? This
you're
surprises me.
About Deathwing?
Yeah, Deathwing is gimmicky.
Have you looked at his win rate?
I know it's high, but here's the thing. Don't nerf him anyway. But here's my point. It's not all about winning in that game. And I would think you, of all people, wouldn't like that guy because here's why. You're normally one of those people that's like, I don't want to play a Battleground. He's like a Battleground version of a character. He's like an odd mode. He's like a weird, he's like Cho'Gall or the three freaking Munchkins or Lost Vikings.
I think what he's saying is that he is not.
That's what
Garrett
is saying.
I'm saying none of those are as gimmicky as you think they are. I mean, you could certainly make an argument that is gimmicky. I'm just going to argue that they aren't.
Yeah.
That there are ways to draft in Heroes of the Storm that makes Cho'Gall a legitimate strategy, and there are ways to counter draft that strategy and still win. And the same goes for Deathwing. There are heroes that excel against him, and there's heroes that excel with him. And I think that's the most surface level mark of a solid hero. I think he's overtuned.
Yeah.
And he does need to be nerfed, but I don't think he's as like strictly gimmicky as you're making him out to be.
Well,
because you can very much counterplay him.
Yeah. I guess, and if there's a counter, I guess that makes him less gimmicky. I don't know. I like, maybe it's probably just a me thing. I like a hero who's got, stuff they do, and it isn't a dragon. Like, it's not a big, hey, a dragon. I don't know.
Well, then congratulations, Scott. You have like 92 other options that are not just dragons.
Also, you could go play League of Legends.
Right? No, I could, but yeah. No thanks. I really don't want
to. Yeah, it's like this is the existence of these really unique heroes is part of the reason I really like Heroes of the Storm, even though they traditionally are not heroes that I personally like playing. But I like them being there, and I like having to change up the way that I play the game when they're involved in a match.
Is Zagara still on the shitter for you? She not.
Zagara is absolutely in the shitter. She is a trash tier hero post XP orb change.
That's too bad because nobody shoots banelings out of her vagina like she does. She's amazing.
Oh Jesus, that is just such a visceral image. Things have really Deathwing has certainly had an effect on the meta, but the XP orb change has really just completely like. In a single stroke completely changed the kind of the order of things in Heroes of the Storm. But yeah, I don't know. I'm going to obviously come to very, very strong defense because I do a show about the game and I'm still enjoying the game. But like, if we were going to like debate this out, like, dude, you're still playing Diablo and that shit hasn't seen an update in like years. And Heroes of the Storm is still getting frequent updates about every 3 weeks.
So I'll come to Scott's defense.
Yay.
I understand that when you're playing a game like this, you want some new blood infused regularly with new characters, and the pace has slowed. Mm-hmm. And if you don't like the latest character, no matter how, that's the problem, right? Scott doesn't like Deathwing. If you don't like the character, since the pace has also slowed, it feels like you don't have enough to enjoy the game you want to enjoy. So. As unreasonable as that way of looking at things is, I understand what you mean.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. It's still, if I'm playing a MOBA, it's the only one I care about. I just think they do everything right that I like, and I love it. But I've never been fond of these gimmick characters. I don't even, I mean, this is funny to say, but I still don't own Abathur, and he probably is the only one that I think I should own of all of those gimmick characters. The rest of them were freebies anyway. Like Cho'Gall was a BlizzCon freebie. This Dragons and or this Deathwing thing is a freebie. It's fine. What do they do next year, though? What does 2020 hold for a game like Heroes of the Storm with, you know, the competitive scene is now officially, you know, totally out of our heads.
It's been gone for an entire year now. So I would say it exists in the space that has existed for 365 days now.
Yeah. But how's that gone? I don't know. How is it gone for everybody?
It's like, been great.
All right. No, this is good. This is good. I'm happy to have some positive, you know, some positive reinforcement. I mean,
I'm trying not to get like nitty gritty. Like, obviously not everything has been perfect, but in terms of like a game with regular updates to keep things interesting, that is definitely what Heroes of the Storm has pulled off for 2019. It is not just stagnated, which is what everyone thought was going to happen because Jalen Brack isn't incapable of writing a letter that doesn't sound like doom and gloom.
Right.
His letter made it sound like, yeah, we just poured napalm on the Heroes of the Storm office and set it on fire. When in reality, what they did is they took one of the largest teams at Blizzard and halved the size of it to where it is now still one of the largest teams at Blizzard.
Mm-hmm. No, that's true. That's
true. Well, not, it's, you know, significantly smaller now, but it's, I talked to some folks that, before BlizzCon that used to work at Blizzard.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the Heroes of the Storm stuff and their response was their team was massive. Mm. So if they cut it in half, it is still a very big team.
Yeah. That's interesting.
And that's the thing. I think they've kept up really well. And it's like, I look at things like Overwatch and Diablo and I'm just like, why does anyone give Heroes crap and think that it's like this stagnating game? Because I look at Overwatch and Diablo and I'm like, this, nothing new happening over there.
I mean,
well, to be fair, it's not like people are saying that Diablo and Overwatch are lively, exciting games where things change all the time, right? Yeah.
No,
everyone
but
agrees that those games are also,
yeah,
like, like I'm kind of projecting on to both of you a little bit because Patrick, I know you love Overwatch and are still playing it regularly, and Scott, you are still playing Diablo regularly.
Oh, but I completely agree.
So
that
I find
it is.
Yeah,
and so that's what I'm trying to dig into here, Scott, is like, do you really think it's stagnated? Do you really think all these heroes are gimmicks, or do you just not like the heroes that kind of get out of a traditional MOBA sense?
Well, like I said, I think it's me. I think I like a traditional hero in a game like that. I still play Heroes and love Heroes, so that really isn't a problem. Overall, I don't feel like the game stagnated by any stretch. I think the developers have done some cool stuff.
And maybe we just have different thoughts on what constitutes a gimmick, because when I think gimmick, I mean it's like it's not a meta playable hero that can make a comp work that like it, and it's just weird for the sake of being weird.
Yeah, that's a decent point.
I hear gimmick, that's what I think.
That's a good point. If your point is and in that case, I don't know who even qualifies for that in the game. Probably the closest I can come to is Cho'Gall, because I find him just to be annoying in every single case I ever play him in. But without, you know, that bias aside,
let me give you a short list of giant killer heroes and you're gonna have a great time every time you play against Cho'Gall.
No, that's true. I do some real fun stuff with Tychus when there's a Cho'Gall on the other side.
I'm surprised you're not more focused on how bad Jaina is now.
I love Jaina though. You can't take my love away. It doesn't matter.
She is, I mean, she's still really good at killing things, but she can't get XP to save her life now.
Well, that XP change really screwed a lot of mages because they're super wimpy.
Basically all of them, yeah. Because they can't. Even Junkrat, who kind of stealth became the best mage in the game over the past few months.
Yeah. He can't get out and get his XP bubbles.
Exactly. Because none of the mages have high health bars or escape mechanisms. Junkrat kind of does. If you're a very good Junkrat, you can escape by, you know, blowing yourself up in a direction to get away.
So, Patrick, if you didn't know this, what happens now is when you kill a minion or minions or whatever, the way it used to work is you just get XP for that. Which contributes to your team and you'd level up.
Oh, and now you have to go search for it?
Well, you have to kill. You still do the kill, but they drop bubbles that are XP bubbles, right. Like
so
health
bubbles.
You
have bubbles. To go get it. So you've if you're ranged, then you're screwed.
Yeah, or if you're wimpy, you're screwed. If you're tanky, great.
I mean, they exist for a certain amount of time, so you don't have to be right on top of them when they die, so you can go get them. But the problem is if you're playing a mage or a squishy character, you are putting yourself out in harm's way.
Yeah, you die a lot more.
But so it's a lot. You still have team XP, right?
Oh, yeah. Correct. Yeah, and the important thing is, well, see, here's the problem. See, some of these characters are really great lane clearers, but they're not great at going out and get their XP bubbles because that's how it works now. So what they're trying to encourage, best I can tell, is for not Jaina to go do this alone, but for Jaina to have some backup, for Jaina to work in a lane hard to clear stuff and have, I don't know, a Murid in there to make sure she doesn't die, or to get the XP himself, or whatever. That I think that's what they're aiming for, and I actually like it. I think it's a pretty cool change, but it has hamstrung a number of characters.
It has huge ramifications, because previously when we would draft to make a comp, you would grab someone like Jaina specifically because her lane clear is exceptionally strong,
yeah. And
she brings a lot of burst to a team fight. And now her lane clear is essentially irrelevant because she doesn't have the health to go out and collect the XP that she just created and generated by dropping a blizzard on the lane.
Yeah, it's tricky.
So it seems
like a very obvious game design issue. Are they talking about it? Are they gonna address
it? Seems
it,
to be intentional. Their intent was to make mages no longer good, like just a default for soaking experience.
Yeah, I think this was. It's almost like a nerf, but it's not a nerf. It's like a. It's a mechanical. Switcheroo.
It is an upheaval of how we play Heroes of the Storm.
Yes, and it's at a very fundamental level. It's a. Kind of life altering. I mean, tanks are just what they always were, but
yeah, tanks are still tanks. I mean, Sonya is amazing now, so I'm having a great time. But
you know, even with her escape mechanics, like somebody like Vala is really struggles with this. I do, where I need to get that XP and I need to get out of there and live. She's just like made of paper. She just dies.
Vala's always struggled in a post, like once we moved away from double support, which we probably shouldn't have because it still worked, but. Yeah. The popular opinion was double support was no longer good. Vala has always struggled because she just has like no freaking health.
She has
no
health.
To use your vault aggressively, not defensively.
Yep. And she drinks mana like an alcoholic. That's the other thing. Anyway, that's always been true.
Yeah, but now it's wild over there.
Yeah.
Learning a lot of new things.
Yeah. It's real, real interesting. But anyway, I hope for more characters. I hope for more focus. I hope for more communication from the team. I hope for less of weird internal memos or other things saying, well, now that game's in the classic list. And you know, I don't like all the negativity around the game. And I wish that they would just, you know, don't do a job posting for classic games and then list that game in there if you don't mean it's a classic game. Like that kind of stuff just drives me up a wall. I know it's small and semantic,
the funny thing was, is it was internally considered classic a lot longer than anyone saw like a job posting for it under there. And the folks at Blizzard are like, that means basically nothing. It's just kind of a categorization of like the age of a game.
Yeah.
To a certain point. And
well, I mean, they wouldn't put, I don't know, Overwatch in classic. They wouldn't put,
that thing is old and moldy.
I mean, but they won't, though, is the point. And if they, and if this thing had been as big as, let's say it had achieved League of Legends, levels of popularity, we wouldn't even be talking about this. We would still have a robust competitive scene, like all of that stuff. You know, it changes everything. So,
well, I mean, HGC died, so Overwatch League could be propped up artificially.
Yeah,
there's a bit
of that. I don't disagree with that. It's controversial.
And also, HGC kind of had the same, like my issue kind of with Overwatch League is like, let's just throw all the money at it to make it. What we want it to be.
Yeah.
The same could be said of HGC. They overextended into esports, Blizzard as a whole.
Sure.
And we're seeing the ramifications of that now. I kind of look at it and liken it to every other studio in the world overextending into MMOs in the wake of World of Warcraft success.
Yeah, they kind of did the same, didn't they?
I think what we saw like the end of 2018 and into 2019 is the ramifications of Blizzard investing too heavily in esports and not being worth the return.
I agree.
I mean, that's been the case forever. It was, you know, Morhaime pushing for esports so much. And to be fair, Blizzard has been in the front, at the front seat, running whatever you want to call it, of esports forever. You know, they pioneered not just with StarCraft, but even with Warcraft, you know, network play and Diablo. It was something they were very much pushing from the beginning. So it's not like a company that has never made an MMO or that kind of game that decides, oh, WoW is super successful, so we have to have one too. It was in their DNA already. I agree it didn't, you know, work out though, of course.
Yeah, yeah, that's kind of, I'm not refuting that. It's, I mean, historically, I think we owe most of modern day esports to South Korea and StarCraft,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But what do we have to show for it? None of the Blizzard esports are as popular as the main temples, I mean, right now.
They have like 3-ish games that are consistently on the, let's say, top 10, and sometimes they move away, but top 10 of Twitch, which I think is partly due to esports. You know, it creates a certain popularity for the games that makes watchability. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it's as bad.
I'm with you on that. And yeah, I get flack by this usually anytime I'm kind of like, boy, I just don't understand person esports and how it works and the popularity and whatnot. Yeah. And usually Brian Kibler will get off on, or come on Twitter and just be like, what are you talking about then? And throw some stats at me. And he's not wrong, but like, why did they basically gut the entire Hearthstone esports team?
Yeah.
If it was worth the fact that Hearthstone is usually on top when there's a big tournament, like it does really well, it gets great views, but I'm like, yeah, that's fine. But then why gut your team?
Yeah.
I think the thing is they you're right. They did get results, but not maybe to the equivalent, you know, to the level or extent to which they invested. It feels like they wanted this to be the best esports period, and they're just, you know, really good esports. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. That's just kind of where my brain goes into all of this. And like personally, I'm just bummed that HGC is gone because it was the one I liked watching the most. Mm-hmm. But I understand because the numbers were not good.
No, they were bad.
There was really no question there as to why it didn't succeed. It's just the ratings weren't there. Hearthstone confuses me because of its success in Twitch views and whatnot. And yet we saw most of the esports team get let go.
Yeah. It's nice to see. I'm looking at Twitch's current streams at the moment, and Hearthstone's always in the top 10. Those guys enjoy a nice little place, you know.
It's
always,
oh yeah, absolutely, yeah. But when we like talk about like the respect that StarCraft rightfully deserves, that's where I get like cranky. I'm like, ah, you bunch of uncultured swine, because no one else gave it the respect it deserved. Don't give them the eyeballs.
Yeah,
like, and I'm like, StarCraft is the greatest esport of all time in my mind. There's no game that displays more prowess in its professional players in terms of how difficult it is to play at the level that it is played at. And yet, we'd rather watch Fortnite. And yeah. It bumps me out a little bit.
Yeah, I'm with you. Currently, by the way, Age of Empires 2 in the top 30, and I can't even find Heroes. Where's Heroes? It's not in here. Oh, there it is. Currently way down there. All right. So, moving on. Let's move on. We got stuff we want to hear from you about, and that starts with this.
Wait.
Oh,
I have...
What? Oh, go.
What's happening? I have predictions. Oh. You didn't even...
Oh, I thought we were doing them all as we went along. Go ahead. Give me what you got. Go ahead.
So I will just, I guess, say one thing. Not predictions, but what I want. I can't believe we didn't mention the incubator. I want to know what specifically Tom Chilton, Corey Stockton, and Dustin Browder are up to. This is unbelievable that we don't know. I mean,
well,
yes,
we knew what Dustin Browder was up to, but they canceled it. It was that Battlefield game thing.
They canceled it.
But
okay.
Maybe done to
Stockton
something else.
And Chilton.
Oh, and didn't, hold on a second. Didn't Dustin Browder leave Blizzard? Did that happen?
He's gone, yes.
Yeah, he left Blizzard after that mess.
Okay,
anyway.
Then I don't care what he's up to. Whatever. He's gone. No, but you know what I mean. First of all, love Dustin Browder. He's an awesome person. I'm sure he's going to be working on awesome stuff going forward.
Yeah.
But Chilton and Stockton are still at Blizzard, still developing little things. And I'm guessing they're developing some of the things that are getting greenlit more and more, and that might evolve into things that actually get, developed to the end. Mm-hmm. And it might be mobile games, because it seems everything those teams are working on are mobile games. So I don't know, but some people might not be very happy about all of this, but I still want to know.
I want to know. I'd be very happy to hear. I think we have to finally hear something, right? It's been too long.
Yeah. Exactly. That's my point.
Yeah.
You agree with me.
I do agree with you.
Oh, God. I love the idea we have to finally hear something after the most bananas ass BlizzCon ever.
Yeah. Like, I mean, they got to say something because it was such a big deal when they announced it. It's like, hey, Adham's back. Sweet. What's he doing? Ooh, he's heading up all these incubators. Ooh, that means like new game experiences and all these employees that we love and admire over there are all swooping in to do these things and then nothing. Zip.
Yeah, because, you know, I'm very happy to have Ian at the head of WoW, at the helm of WoW and these kinds of things and those, you know, new people. But the big people who heralded those games initially, the in their entireties, are working on new stuff. I want to see the new stuff.
Yeah, I want to see new stuff.
So there you go.
Show us new stuff. I'm with you 100%. Yes, please. All right, now I'm going to play this.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the town crier.
Hey, I have another thing I want to see.
Okay, what do you want to see? Give it to me.
Now I'm just annoying you.
Okay, no, you can annoy me all you want. I don't care.
Okay, cool. Excellent.
Yeah.
The other thing I want to see is for the next BlizzCon, I want them to have in the virtual ticket, virtual demos of everything they're showing on the show floor.
Oh.
Be it, you know, streaming or actual demos you have to install. And I want to see that.
That's a brilliant idea. That's a really cool idea. Some kind of timed, I mean, they'd have to build the infrastructure for this, but some kind of timed demo of whatever. That's a great idea, yeah. Patrick.
It's something we talked about for the past, I guess, couple of BlizzCons as something that would be cool. And the Game Awards did it with a few demos.
Oh, they did?
But I think Blizzard could. Yeah.
All right.
Blizzard did that with the Classic demo in 2018.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, that's true.
Oh, yeah, that's totally true. They did. I forgot about that. Okay, well then.
So there you go.
Yeah, that's probably means that, well, I don't know why they couldn't do it with Diablo or anything else. Yeah, I'm all for this. This is a great idea. All right.
I think with something like Diablo, it's the kind of, I don't know, abject terror of data mining and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Like how clean is this demo and what you could get out of it.
Yeah.
If they partner with, you know, Google or Microsoft or whoever and do it streaming, then it's a lot easier in all respects. Of course,
talk to me in 5 years when maybe the Stadia is an actual product.
There you go.
The tech of it works. And if it's just to try out a demo, I think it would be, you know, just go with Microsoft, whatever. But if the worry is, oh, data mining and it's annoying to install 50 gigs just for 2 days of a demo, I mean, people would do it, of course. But streaming makes it incredibly easy and convenient. If you have the bandwidth. I get that.
What they need to do is they need to, I forgot, I had a thing to say. I forgot.
But they definitely need to do it.
Whatever it was, I was going to say, they need to do it.
Diablo 4 as soon as possible so we can just play it.
Yeah, I really did have a cool comment, and it just flipped out of my head. But I did want to ask you this. Patrick, I know you watched the Game Awards. Just real quick, who won? Who got, like, the big one?
I watched it, too.
Was it Death Stranding? Tell me they didn't get the
thing. It was not Death Stranding. Who won? Like game? No. Sekiro won Game of the Year.
Okay, all right.
And that's, I think, pretty cool.
Stranding won Best Direction.
It did Best Direction. Yes. Okay, so that's one. That's a good one for his buddy Hideo Kojima. That's good.
Yeah, the tragedy. I mean, there was the new Xbox that was revealed, and the name. It's called the Xbox Series X, which is possibly the dumbest name in the history of names.
Series X? Really? How did I miss this? This sounds so stupid. That's stupid.
But it looks cool.
It's on brand for Xbox. I'm not sure where I'm going to put it. I guess it's going on the floor next to my subwoofer for my TV.
Yeah, it's really big. You can put it. Put it down horizontally. So that's the thing. But yeah.
You can. Okay, but it looks so much cooler vertical.
That jives with something I heard. I'm not supposed to know from a developer who told me what that looked like. And now I'm looking at it and now I see what he means. That's crazy. That looks
I think it's cool okay that you say it because it's been actually being announced.
Yeah. I'm just not going to say who told me, but it looks like a freaking, I don't know what to compare that to.
It looks like a tiny PC. That's what it looks like. It looks like
your Alexa and your PC had a baby.
Yeah. That doesn't work for a lot of people's shelving and things. All right. Yeah. Well, whatever.
I mean,
I'm actually really bullish on Microsoft this coming generation because of their service stuff.
Oh, they are going to be back in the race for sure.
Yeah.
The big tragedy, if we're talking about the Game Awards, is that Outer Wilds did not get enough recognition.
Oh, Outer Wilds, not Worlds, but Wilds.
Not Worlds, no, Wilds. And that game, I hated it when I first tried it. And now that I have actually given it its fair chance, it is an incredible.
I'll say this. I played it, and I'm going to agree with you that it is incredible, and I admire it, and I respect it, but I don't like playing it. I don't like the timer. I don't like that mechanic. I don't like feeling like there's a clock ticking. I hate that in video games. Hate it. Hate it. Unless it's artificial clock ticking. I'm fine with that. But when there's an actual clock ticking, which this game is entirely based around a clicking 25-minute clock.
Did you finish it?
No, I can't bring myself to do it, dude. Mm. Just that.
How long did you play?
Probably a few hours. I've watched a bunch of Let's Plays. Okay. I watched a streamer play through the entire solution because I did want to see how things went. I think it's brilliant. That one mechanic gets him. It's a me thing again. This is a
fair
me
enough.
Thing.
So you, fair enough. Listen, everyone's different. It's okay.
Yeah. Sorry, Gary.
Not a Majora's Mask fan, are you, Scott?
No. In fact, there you go. There's the other one of those I can't stand is Majora's Mask.
It is my favorite Zelda game. I love Majora's Mask.
Well, you should play Outer Wilds then. You'd love it because it's totally that mechanic. Yeah.
Oh, Outer Wilds is so. I mean, it's more than just that mechanic. It is. It has so much going for it, but anyway.
All right. Yeah. Nice review. So, yeah, I like your review. Cool. Anyway, so listen to Patrick's latest Pixels goes deep into those awards, so check it out. Let's start with an email. This is from Jordan, who wrote in, not the country, a kid. I don't even know if he's a kid. Just a guy named Jordan. He wrote into theinstance@gmail.com and says, "Hey, fellas, thanks for all that you guys do and all the hard work you put into the show. It's special to me and one of my only podcasts I listen to regularly. You help make my mundane commutes enjoyable." Oh, thanks, Jordan. He says, "I have a random shower thought today." We all have those, right? He says in parentheses, "What if Blizzard changed all classes to have a tank, DPS, and healer specialization? It's a wild idea, but I believe it would tie up a ton of loose ends in the game and take WoW to another level of depth. Balance alone would be a huge win. They would have less DPS specs to balance for both PvP, raiding, Mythic Plus, etc. It would also give players the option to pick a class based on the fantasy and not be affected by the role limitation. They also create more options for tanks and healers and also create more supply of those roles by allowing all classes to have the option. Think Dungeon Finder always needing a tank or a healer. If more classes had these options, more players would play those specs if needed, which would improve the life of the game. Some basic ideas would be a hunter could tank by using its pet. A priest could tank by using its shield power. A rogue could heal with potions. Warlock could heal by stealing health of their enemies and giving it to their team. There are endless options. I would add so much more variety to the game, to the core of the game. It's an exciting thought. I realize there would be lots to figure out, but what do you guys think about this crazy idea, Jordan?" Well, we've talked about this in bits and pieces before, but I think it's a fine thing to return to. I'm kind of in favor of this. Now, I realize that there's a worry out there that we would become too homogenized, that everybody would be capable of the same things. So we're all masters of everything, or we're all good at everything, masters of nothing, and all that sort of thing. But I don't know. I think it would be fun if you're three specs per class. I know some are different. You know, Demon Hunters only have two, but most classes have three or more specs. It'd be cool if one was a tank spec and the other two were DPS or straight healer specs or whatever they are currently. I would personally be in favor of this. Patrick, would you want that in your World of Warcraft? Or do you say nay?
Well, there are a number of issues. First, it dilutes the fantasy. I understand the gameplay implications, but it dilutes the fantasy a little bit. I mean, some classes are just not tanks or healers. You could justify it. I think it could be done. Mm. The other maybe bigger issue even is the problem isn't necessarily that people don't have access to healers or tanks, because people usually, especially later in the cycle of the expansion, have a huge amount of ults. Like most people usually have an ult slash healer. Mm. But the reason you have the draught of those classes is that people don't want to play those roles at that time, right? And that's why even if you notice, I think every class that has been added since the beginning is either a healer or a tank, as well as a DPS. And that hasn't really changed the ratios. So I don't think doing that would help in the way that you think they would, Jordan. It would help a little bit, but not as much as you think.
I hadn't thought of this. Like, other than the druid, which was there from the beginning. Well, I guess
paladins.
But everything that's been new since what? Since Death Knights have had this option.
Well, so, Death Knights could be tanks as well. So they have either tank or healer or both.
Yeah, tank, like, healer, or tank, both, DPS, or both, right. In the case case of a monk, it's all three. In the case of a druid, it's all three. But at least two, including demon hunters, tank and DPS, every new class that's been introduced to the game is doing what he's asking. It's not giving you all three, but it's giving you at least two. And I think that's maybe by design, or maybe that's a half measure to sort of achieve what he's asking for.
Oh, no, of course it's by design. It's so that they don't introduce a class that everyone is going to play, which is not going to be able to fulfill one of those very important roles.
Right.
So that's the idea of it.
Right.
But
they're not going to, but do you don't think it's likely
to go
back? It
doesn't help as much as you think it does.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Because the problem, in part and often, is not that there isn't the class available or the role available. It's that it isn't, it's not what people want to play. And so they don't play it.
So Garrett,
even if they have access to it.
Garrett, if you were at Blizzard, would you go back in time and retcon all the original classes to have viable multiple specs?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Give me your reason, because I figured this is where you would land. Tell me why.
I would like a half measure. I'd like an in-between, because Classic and, to an extent, like Death Knight, when it originally was introduced, it kind of existed in a world where there were indirect ways you could do things that maybe you weren't necessarily supposed to be doing as the class that you were, like shamans kind of making tanking work in Classic, and hunter pets. Somebody brought this up in the chat room.
Right.
There were weird roundabout ways to tank in Classic. It probably didn't work for highest level like progression rating, but you could make it work in other cases. And I think that's really cool. And I thought Death Knights essentially having a way to tank in all three specs when they first launched was the coolest thing ever. And I haven't liked them nearly as much ever since. Ever since they took that away, I think Death Knights lost a good amount of what made them really unique. But I don't think every class should do it. No, okay. I really like the idea of pure classes, from just a fantasy standpoint. But it's an opinion thing. I don't have like a hard fact for you. Like, no, it's wrong, and this is why. It is like, no, I just like having unique class fantasy. And as someone who's been enjoying Classic quite a bit this year, and kind of the strong differences that different classes bring compared to significantly more homogenized retail experience. I don't want every class to be able to do everything.
I will say I would like to see a ranged tank class. I think it would be interesting to see how that works out.
Boy, that boggles the mind to think about.
Yeah, yeah. It's cool though.
Like, how that's a cool would idea. You position bosses? So much about boss fights is positioning.
Right. Yeah, it'd be very weird. I mean, I personally, if I had a wish, it would be Blizzard go make survival a tank spec. But that's just for my hunter, and I'm being selfish. But
if you have a pet that is tanking, it's just another tank. An actual ranged tank would work differently.
In that case, that's why I'm saying that, because I would still be all up in front with a melee weapon the way that survival is now. Just make it a tank spec.
Oh, you mean like the actual, not just the pet, just you, survival, melee, hunter.
Yeah, melee, hunter, pet included, you're the tank. I mean, the spec would have to be totally reworked to do that, but, well, maybe not totally, but, you'd do some things to make that work, but I would love that. Just because it's selfish. I just don't like waiting in line. I don't like being in queues as a DPS. I hate it. And so I want to tank more. But I don't like playing tanks very often, so I don't know. I'm kind of at odds with my own words here, because I don't like tanking. I don't want to tank, but I'll tank because I want to get in. You know what I mean?
That is exactly the reason why adding tanks to the game doesn't help as much as we think.
I think you're right.
People, it is a different experience when you go into tank or even heal than when you go in and DPS and just stay in the back and go like, oh, I'm going to do my rotation. I don't care about it.
Right.
Just let's be honest. I love DPS, but that's way less involved than tanking or healing.
All right, now I'm about to do a thing that, well, you know what? I'm going to save this for the second call. I have three calls today. They're all short. They all came to us at 801-471-0462. You can leave voicemails for the show. 801-471-0462. You know what? I am going to get this one out of the way.
I think the second one is going to be really cool.
I'm going to play it. Okay, because you know what? I will do it out of order. I'm going to do this one that calls out. I just don't want Patrick's head too big is all I'm getting at. All right? You got a nice French head. It's a normal size. Don't let it go bigger.
It's a little bit on a little big on that video. I don't know what's happening. I've been trying to fix it since the beginning of that episode. I don't like the way I look.
I got a little fisheye filter going on, making you look all big. But anyway, here's what this person says about you, Patrick.
Hey, Scott, how you doing? Calling for the instance. I just wanted to say two things really quickly. First off, I've listened to you guys for a couple of years on and off as I play WoW and don't play WoW. Not sure when you added Patrick, but I freaking love that guy. You've been talking a lot about storyline and reading quest text, and I don't know if you use the add-on. I like it. There's some bugs with it, but it's called Storyline. It really helps to be able to read the text, so check that out if you haven't. Peace, dudes. Keep doing it.
All right. First of all, yes, I've heard of Storyline. I hear it's good. If you're trying to see quest text in a way that's more readable, that's a great mod. Secondly, he really likes you, Patrick. He wants to be with you.
And that's wonderful. I think what we have here is a case of mistaken name. Because Patrick's been on the show so long, and if this guy's a long time instance listener, I find it hard to believe that he hasn't noticed Patrick until just now.
Well, he said 2 years.
He started listening a couple of years ago. Yeah. So
he said 2 years. So that would fit. Patrick didn't join full time till 2014.
I think that person is obviously an incredibly reasonable and logical person whose judgment we should uphold and value.
I think you're right. I do. I agree.
What's their name?
Did he say? Hold on.
Hey, Scott, how you doing? Calling for the instance. I just wanted to.
No, he never gives his name. Yeah. So whoever you were, are.
Yes.
I love Patrick 420. That's what this person's name is.
Listen, I have had very few instances of people calling the instance and saying they love me specifically. So you are possibly the first person.
I doubt that.
No one gets people to call in and say, hey, that person, I actually love them. Oh, and the mod that I like is called that. Which that transition felt a little bit abrupt to me. I would have liked you to go on a little bit longer on the first topic you were calling for, which clearly was an important one. Yeah, but,
like an hour. Yeah, you want them to go like an hour longer about you. Ooh, thank you.
In the chat room's onto something. Patrick, can we hear you talk in an American accent real quick? Because I'm getting suspicious.
Yeah, let's hear it.
That is what I was going to get to. Mystery person that is definitely not me faking the accent. I love you too.
Let me compare the two. Hold on.
We're gonna swim in money.
Okay, there's one. Now this.
Hey Scott, how you doing?
I don't know. I think there's something to the theory.
I think it is definitely not the case that this is me.
Okay.
So there you go.
Okay, you think that, but yeah, we're just not sure. All right, I'm going to play another call. This is not lavishing anything on anyone, except it is an interesting idea for the show. Well, I guess it actually is because it's someone who's not on the show. But anyway, check it out.
Hey, guys, it's Johnny A. West on Lightning Hosts. I hope you guys are doing really, really well. Love the show. Keep up the great work. Hey, quick question. I've tweeted at you guys a couple times. I am forming a formal lobby for you to bring over Beau Schwartz for one or more guest episode to host a WoW Epperty, a little variation of Next Epperty, which is on the Core podcast. Awesome show. Thought it would be fun or at least funny to hear you guys try a WoW Epperty episode. Give it a try. Hey, appreciate all the hard work. Keep it up, guys.
Okay, so for those not in the know, on Core, back when it was a pure Heroes of the Storm show, we've branched out and it's just sort of general gaming now. But at the time, Bo used to do this thing called Next Jeopardy. It was like Jeopardy, but in the Nexus. And it always dealt with issues, topics, story, character, stuff in the game of Heroes of the Storm. And it was cool because the way it worked was we would usually have like our own cores that you had to try to knock hit points off of, and you would do that by getting correct answers, and if you got them wrong, your character would get stunned, or you'd lose your fort, or you'd lose your keep, or whatever. It was really fun.
And if you're if you're confused by that explanation, it's absolutely accurate because the game itself was just as confusing.
It kind of was, yes. So that would be my only concern, as it would be very confusing here. However,
It doesn't matter. It was fun. The confusion was part of the fun.
Yeah. So maybe one of these times we'll bring him on. We'll have him run the game. He likes doing that sort of stuff. He's a DM for a whole other thing I do. Like, he's into that sort of stuff. And we'll have him create a WoW based thing, sort of Jeopardy ripoff game, and we'll put ourselves to the test. I don't have a problem with that. I'd try that out. Plus, I like Bo. It'd be fun to bring him on. So, I'll take your idea into advisement there, dear listener. Final call. This one is a theory as to what hurt Warlords most, or why people didn't like Warlords of Draenor. So here it is.
Hey, this is for the Instance podcast. Mango Mike from the Granola Bar server. I was thinking about Warlords of Draenor, and I think I'm the only one who actually liked it, but I was thinking that what really screwed it up for a lot of people was that it was the only expansion that didn't have a new class or a new race or anything. I don't know. I think that's what really hurt it in the long run. But yeah, what do you guys think?
Okay, so it didn't. You're right. He's right. There were no new classes, no new races, but it was the expansion we got a complete overhaul of almost all of the character models. And I think that's what they were substituting there.
And it was, to me, one of the crowning achievements of that expansion.
Yeah, it was one of the good things about it. But is he right that the lack of a new class or a new race was, you know, is detrimental? I
mean, a new race, I don't know. It's just very cosmetic. It doesn't really help much. New class is actually new gameplay that everyone goes and levels. You know, it does bring a lot of value to an expansion. I agree. But I think while it didn't help, it wasn't the core issue. The core issue was the core design of many elements in the expansion. And I'm not sure. I mean, it would have made it a little bit better, but not better enough that it would have been, it would have changed the story on World.
It also, it was also, would have only been a race year that year anyway, because the year or the expansion before had a new race and new class. And normally they don't do class and then class and then class in their expansions. They skip an expansion for classes. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of right on time with that. Like, you had monks in Pandaria, then you had Warlords of Draenor, and your big addition was the new models. Then the next time around you got demon hunters, and while not a new race, you got a new class. And then this last expansion, the expansion we're on now, we got new races ad nauseum, depending on how many races you're going after, sub races and all that. But no new class, right? Yeah, there's no new class this time.
Yeah.
For a hot second. No, for... BFA.
Yeah, no, we don't have a new class in...
Okay, BFA. For a hot second, I couldn't remember if we did.
We don't have one in Shadowlands either.
Right, so. Right. We did have a lot of changes to classes. Maybe that's why I'm thinking that way. But yeah, you're right. Shadowlands, no new class.
There are a lot of changes to classes in every expansion.
Right.
And Shadowlands give us a token for a allied race of our choice. Like, here you go. You don't have to grind for it.
Yeah. Anyone you want, too. Let me pick. Because there's some stuff I did not want to finish grinding out that I would like to have the race from. But then that's just me. But no, it didn't even occur to me. Shadowlands does not have a new class. That's kind of weird. That's off pattern for them. What are we getting? What's the big thing we're getting in its place? Just these, I don't know. What are we getting?
I'm sure we're going to get more allied races. I still think BFA, we should have gotten Kul Tirans and Zandalari Trolls without having to grind.
Yeah. Yeah, that should have just been in there.
Class,
especially the way it was advertised before we got it. I think we should have gotten those.
They're pretty damn unique models. A lot of the other allied races reuse the rigs from existing races, but Kul Tirans and Zandalari Trolls are pretty freaking unique looking. Mm. And also, we're just the big races of this expansion. So I really think those two should have just been given to all players of World of Warcraft, and we should have had to grind for the rest of them.
What are they using for the Volperi, the little fox dudes?
Volpera, I believe, are used the goblin skeleton.
Grumblings. Oh, yeah. Of course they are. Because obviously the gnomes are gnomes on the other side, the mecha gnomes.
Yeah. The it's very apparent with the hands, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, they're pretty long. And
Yeah,
the long arms. Like, goblins have very, like, yeah, like next time you look at a goblin model and a Volpera, look at the forearms. They're, like, weirdly long, and they're very gremlin-like, as a matter of fact. Yeah. If you look at a goblin model, and then go look up gremlins. Yeah. That's kind of what they look like.
I want to go see Gremlins. I want to watch Gremlins 2 again. By the way, Gremlins 1, totally a Christmas movie. Just putting that out there.
Oh, 100%. We just watched it the other night. Yeah. Every year. Yeah. Every year.
That is a Christmas-ass movie. Puts a gremlin in a microwave, explodes. It's good stuff. Check it out.
I want more of the mom in that movie.
What, Patrick?
We taste those gremlins.
What'd you say, Patrick?
We watch Love Actually every year, we haven't this year yet.
That movie's great. I love that movie.
That's still on the list this year, yeah. I do enjoy some Love Actually.
Yeah.
I'm a basic white bitch. I guess that's what that would make me.
All right, sure. Why not? I keep hearing that animated Klaus thing on Netflix is supposed to be amazing. So I got to
really?
Yeah, okay. Heard nothing but like raves about that. So I gotta watch that.
Watchmen is so good.
Oh my gosh, you guys. It's okay. Okay, hold on. Garrett's gonna not like it, and I know that already.
No. I think it's average.
I think it's freaking my favorite thing to sit and wait for all week, except that and The Mandalorian are my two jams right now.
Well, I don't know about The Mandalorian. Obviously, I can't judge because I don't watch The Mandalorian.
If he did, he would know that is clearly the
but
best
disclaimer show. Though, disclaimer, Garrett hasn't read the comic yet. I'm not saying you have to, and I'm not even saying that makes it better for you. It might make it worse. Like Justin Robert Young's kind of right there with you, and he loves the comic. He reveres it. I do too, though. I revere the comic book. I love where this is going.
Here's why I don't need to read the comic book, because I was in art school when the movie came out, and I heard so many frothing at the mouth nerds screaming about how like the two minor changes that the movie made to the comics and going over the comic in nauseam that I feel like I never need to read it because I had it shouted at me through spit by about 120 different neckbeard.
You should read it.
I don't need to read. I was reading V at the time, as a matter of fact.
V is very good. V is also very
good. V is great. Yeah. And it is another case of where, like, I legitimately like the V for Vendetta movie, but I also love the comic. I think they're different in their own ways, and I really like both.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I just love where they're going. I don't even know why I like it so much. I love it.
Has Alan Moore said anything about the TV show?
No, he doesn't say anything about it.
He hates it because it exists. He hates everything.
He hates because it exists. Yeah. He hasn't seen it. He just doesn't. He default hates anything his stuff works on.
Which, granted, I don't necessarily blame him. Like, the Killing Joke animated movie is horrible. And
yeah, but V for Vendetta, the movie was good, and he hated it. Well, he came out and yelled about that, but I don't think he's seen it.
It made a lot of changes.
Yeah.
But sure. I think
Watchmen, the interesting thing about the TV show is that it imagines something after, and so it doesn't, like, bastardize the existing material as much.
Not as much.
And even then, they're not retconning anything. Like,
except Veidt's intelligence. Veidt's an idiot.
No, but you know, he's so, well, I mean,
he's crazy now. He's
put himself in prison.
He's crazy
now.
Well,
I mean,
he's crazy now.
Yes, that's the thing. He's old. He might be a little bit delirious. Like, he might have dementia. The way he's acting.
It bothers me.
The way he's acting is very irrational. Like, it's not. I think
he has got, like, full-on dementia, and they're going to deal with it at some point. I think I really like that they made him crazy. I think that's great. We're not spoiling anything, chat room. Nothing's being spoiled here. You just got to watch it.
We kind of just spoiled some stuff. I'm sorry.
Not really. He's old.
The thing is, you don't even know that Veidt is in the show for, like, four episodes.
You know the first episode that he's in. Oh, I knew that was him.
No, you don't know that.
It's not revealed that it's him.
Oh, but I immediately knew.
I was pretty sure, but yeah. It's,
as soon as I saw him, I went, oh, what's he doing here? Ozymandias, what are you doing what are you doing with your clone people? Anyway, you guys got to watch it.
There's things I really like, and there's things I really don't like. Like, it's very uneven for me.
There are things.
I love the state of the world. Like, the first episode, absolutely, I was in hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah.
I thought the world that they developed in it was awesome. I was really interested. And then all it wanted to do was play in the past for, like, the next four episodes. And I was like, for the love of God, can we move the story forward?
I don't know.
I mean, we should, maybe that's a little bit too spoilery. So I won't
say anything else about it. But I do think people should watch it. It's very cool.
Yeah. Next episode is the last for the season, right?
Yes, we're done. Yes, the one we just watched is penultimate, so this next one is they got to sew it up, because according to the producers, they don't know if there even is a season 2 at this point, so I expect they're going to sew it all up, but that thing is very popular. I can't imagine them not doing it next year, or next season, or whenever they do it.
I am more interested in it than I am his Dark Materials.
Oh, really? I haven't watched that. I haven't started that yet. I keep meaning to.
I watched one episode and it was meh.
Yeah.
But I just don't care about the Golden Compass universe. I think it's it's one of my least, I don't think it's bad. I just don't care. If that makes any sense. Yeah. It's right up there with like Narnia for me, where I'm just like, I don't care about this fantasy world. There's a lot of fantasy worlds out there, and these two do not interest me.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
All right, since we're talking about TV shows at the moment that are cool, watch For All Mankind. It's also a little bit of a slow burn.
Oh, it's very good. I like it. Yeah,
but it is excellent. It is super good.
Alternate and actually, history.
I'm loving all of. Yeah, I'm also loving the morning show. Oh. It is. I think it's really good.
It's probably good, but I refuse to watch it because they say the acronym TMS through the whole thing, and it pisses me off. I hate it. I hate that so much because I can't do anything about it, and it's just I don't like it. It's like if suddenly the angry chicken got said in some TV show every 5 minutes. It's super annoying. I hate it. I hate it.
So if you Google TMS, do you suddenly not get the morning stream anymore?
You used to. Let's see what happens now. I actually haven't tried TMS.
I'm not sure you ever got it because it stands for transcranial magnetic stimulation.
We used to.
Which accurately describes the show that you do as well, Scott. So,
let's see. It used to be I would get, it would, okay.
Yeah, but do you search in secret private mode? Or
no, I'm in normal mode here.
Well, in that case, obviously you're going to get it because...
The morning show. Oh, yeah. I used to be when you would do the morning, I might be 3 or 4 down. Now, the morning show has bumped us all out of there with her IMDb listing and YouTube.
I'm sorry. I'm not going to stop watching it, but I will try to enjoy it a little bit less in protest.
Okay. Also, a slow burn at the start, I heard that show, right? A little bit of a...
A little bit, but what's really interesting is that they go into the whole Me Too thing, but they go at it with a lot of... clarity, and like it's the first time, it's the anti-Twitter. It's they look at things and terrible things are still terrible, but they add nuance to people's reactions and opinions, and without making the terrible things less terrible.
All right.
So I really appreciate that. I think it's a very good, and you know, Jennifer Aniston is whatever, she's her a little bit better than she was before. But everyone else is really good.
Wow, that was some sub shade, a little subtext there on.
I'm not a big fan of the way she acts. I think she's very one note, like most of those actors from Friends. You know, she was cast to be who she is in real life, and I don't think she can be a very different character. But she's good enough in that show that it's okay.
There are two roles she's very good in. She is, in my opinion. She's very good in Office Space, but this is like way back before she blew up. Just a very subtle, fun role. And then she's also a very good voice role in The Iron Giant. She plays the kid's mom. So I'm giving her that.
Who is?
Jennifer Aniston. She's good in those two roles.
Well played, Jen Ann.
Yeah, well done, Jen Ann.
And she's producing it as well. And like you can... On that end, I will give her mad props. It's a very good show.
I did the math on how much money the Friends actors make in perpetuity for syndication and other streaming deals and everything. Each of them have made something like, is it each of them or total? It may have been in total, but it's something like $300 million since Friends went off the air. Mm. Just by not doing Friends, they've made that much money. It's crazy.
So it's roughly equivalent to what we're getting from Blizzard.
Kind of, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, in my pockets, I don't have room anymore. So open your pockets, everybody. Blizzard's got
money. My pockets are fine. It's just a check. So it doesn't take a lot of space.
You keep your money in a scarf. That's what I heard. Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's why it never leaves my neck. It's as close as it can to my person.
Yeah.
Because I hide all my money in it. That's why.
Patrick, can I ask why you do not have like Pixels or Instance branded scarves that you sell? Because I feel like you're really missing out on some.
Why don't we do that? We should make an Instance scarf. What the heck? All right. New merch idea.
And it's double-sided. On the end of the scarf that you would have, you know, free hanging, one side is the Instance logo. The other side says Le Dick.
Le Dick. Yep.
I'm not sure about that second part.
Yeah.
But I feel like the vibe I get from people in the U.S. is that why they appreciate and admire the scarf on me, they are apparently saying, is my son trying to come in? Well, I think he was, but my wife stopped him. It's okay. Yeah. My understanding is that people in the U.S. will not wear a scarf. Like they feel it somehow diminishes their manliness or something. Like it's just not a thing that is done.
Mm-hmm. I would like to correct that by saying it definitely increases your sexiness.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there yeah. you go.
Yeah.
Scarves would are you wear one? AF.
Yeah.
Would you wear one though?
Yeah, I'd wear one.
I wore one to Joss's wedding because it was required because it was the frozen tundra north of the wall.
Yeah.
It was freezing.
Yeah, you Floridians should never go to Canada, man. You're just gonna die.
I had a great time actually. I really enjoyed it. I think if anything else, if I actually lived in that climate, it would be the constant layering on and layering off of clothes as you go in and out of controlled climate environments. That would just drive me insane.
Yeah, it'd get a little rough. By the way, Patrick, this is what it should say on the other side of the scarf.
Bastion has a cock.
I think that's we should put that in there. Don't you think? That'd
Which
be a
is
good...
a completely a 100% accurate statement. Bastion has a cock.
I don't remember what that was
just
from.
It's just a silhouette of Bastion in turret mode, but it has two balls hanging beneath it.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's perfect. Nice job.
That's it. That'd be great.
All right. Well done. Where we go from here? I know. We go around the horn and tell everybody to say what's going on this week. Look, it's going to be a little spotty for the rest of December, everybody. Who knows? We got holidays coming up. I know Patrick's going to be traveling a ton. I don't know what the schedule looks like. We'll try to let you know ahead of time. But Garrett and I are going to stick around later and do a quick bonus show. So you will have that. And the more we know, the more we'll tell you. For now, though, let's find out what everyone else is working on. Patrick, where should people go to find that new Pixels episode? Sounds great. So tell people about where that is and what's that about.
Yeah, it's fun. Pixels, you just go to your podcast app and you search for Pixels, subscribe, and you get that episode. We talk about video games a lot less about babies and TV shows and stuff like that, which, you know, you got your dose from here. So that's good.
Yeah.
And what else? If you want to hear about Brexit and what things are happening in the world, the Phileas Club might be interesting to you. And to get that, maybe I should change the name of the show. It is impossible to spell. Mm. Although I guess it's not impossible. It's P-H-I-L-E-A-S. I just did.
Yep.
I spelled it, Scott.
Yep,
I managed. P-H-I-L-E-A-S. And get that. We're going to do next week an episode with 4 people, if all goes well, from different parts of the UK, and they're going to tell us what they think about all of that and what they think is going to happen. It's going
to
be interesting.
Yeah, how do you feel about you may have to finally kiss Britain goodbye for real? You know?
Well, I mean, Britain, it depends how you define Britain, the UK, and all of those, because it might be that Scotland and other parts of it just leave the union and join another union, which is the EU, because they are not happy about what is probably going to happen, which is Brexit. I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah,
I can't wait for Braveheart 2.
Oh, no. That'll be bad. That was a bloody time. We don't want that. That'd be bad. I hope we don't want that. The last thing we need is Scotland donning a bunch of kilts, mooning us, and then killing us with swords. That's the last thing we need.
Well, I mean, it's not us. It's the. I think they can do it in a democratic manner, probably. But it's really interesting because everyone thought, like, if only there is another vote, then things will go back to the way they were supposed to. And no, I mean, they didn't go the way bubbled leftists like me and others thought they were going to go or thought they ought to go, because apparently the sentiment is real. And
bubbled leftists. All right.
Yes. Bubbled leftists.
Okay, Boomer.
That is the name of a cover band.
Oh, okay. That you can't think of. All right. Check that all out. Frenchspin.tv or no, .com. Not TV.
.com.
I always say TV and I don't know why. Garrett Weinzierl, tell the fine folks what's going on with you and where they can get it.
Amove.tv, all the podcasts are there. You, however, if you're listening to this podcast, would probably really like my new one. It's called Wow Killer. And it has Taliesin and myself talking for WoW for the latest episode, y'all. It was 2 hours and 40 minutes.
Oh, my gosh. You guys are screwed.
How long these are going.
Yeah, they're going to go. They're just, this is how it's going to be. I hope you know that. That's just how it'll go.
Single topic episodes, too. So this week's episode was just about leaks and data mining and how they are not the same thing. And you should not yell at WoWhead when the jailer gets leaked.
Yep. Yep. And that's there's your 3 hour conversation right there. Boom.
Yeah, you mean when the jailer gets data mined, or was he?
He was leaked. The art of the jailer was revealed.
Oh, I missed that. I don't mind spoilers. I'm gonna go look at it.
Had nothing to do with WoWhead or MMO spoilers. Champion or anyone else that engages in data mining.
Yeah.
But yeah, we have a really long, deep talk about what is a leak, what is data mining, and the differences between the two. And then we also look at the history of WoW leaks and how wrong a lot of them are and how weirdly accurate a few of them were.
Mm. Okay.
So,
all right.
Go. Get WoW Killer wherever podcasts can be found. Amove.tv for everything else. Go check it out.
Oh, look, this isn't the jailer. Who made this? This is wrong. I found a joke version.
Don't tell me. I don't want
it's a fake. It's fake. Somebody took, let me tell you what they did. Somebody took the body, the torso and head of the new humans,
Oh, is this a cool Tyrion with a gnome tinker arms and legs? I saw this one.
It's so stupid.
I got a ton of upvotes on the WoW subreddit. It was great. It was such a good troll.
It was the first Google thing. It says, leaked data mine image of the jailer, and it's just the torso of a Kul Tiran.
I love that that's the first thing that comes up on Google.
It's so
the
dumb.
Best.
So dumb.
It's so good. Thank you.
Very dumb.
Thank you, well-meaning trolls on the World of Warcraft
subreddit. Done, guys. Well done. You've done it again. All right. That's going to do it for today's show. Thank you all for joining us and being here. Once again, don't forget our website, theinstance.net. You can find this and all our archive shows there. It's all there. It's an old feed for the old stuff, but you'll get it. You can also support us over there, like I mentioned at the top of the show. Go to that place and click on our support link. Get something cool in the mail. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Patrick or Garrett. We'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com. You keep your money in a scarf. That's what I heard.